Hey church, it's so good to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services. What a great service we've had in song and prayer, scripture, Lord's Supper, and now it's time for us to challenge ourselves and to examine ourselves. And so for everybody who's here that's a member, thank you. For everybody who's here that's a visitor, thank you. To everybody who's tuned in, thank you. But today, right now, currently, we have somebody here for the very first time. So I'm going to ask Sergey, if he would, to bring forward his and Christina's brand new baby girl, Allison Grace Wojciechowski. There you go, Barnes. Look at this little angel. She is adorable. Congratulations, Sergey, Christina, Elijah. What a blessing it is. Oh, and Aunt Olga and cousins and all as well. So she's a doll, brother. Congratulations. Thank you, Sergey. It's always a beautiful scene to be able to see that to me and to remind the church that you have a mama, a daddy, family that's supporting them and they're bringing their babies to church. I understand Christina, she's like, I've got to go today. She couldn't handle it anymore, and so I'm proud of her for that. You know, when you think about babies, if you can remember your babies or if you're in the process of those babies now, had grandchildren recently at your house, you know what tired is, right? You know what it's like to be tired. What about a week of VBS? Have you ever been tired after VBS? You know, the thing is, when you and I exhaust ourselves, whether that's somebody who's needing our attention like a baby or a grandchild, or maybe it's a long week of preparation and teaching and keeping and cleaning up and all those things for VBS. No matter what in life, the reality is sometimes we always get empty and we get tired. You know, there's also more than just being physically tired. There's also spiritually tired. Tired. There's mentally being tired. You know, it's those times in life when you are walking in the light as He is in the light, but yet you feel like you're empty. You're praying to God every day, but you're just kind of going through those motions because you're so drained. And you feel like maybe my prayers have gone cold. Or maybe you come to worship and you get here and hopefully you were here for Bible class, but then you get into worship and maybe you're just so tired physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, one or all the above, and maybe you're not singing out as, and maybe worship has just become a little bit. You see, if that is you today, or that has been you recently, I want you to understand, you're not alone. All of us get tired. All of us have moments when we don't maybe bring our best. And we learn this, that even God's greatest servants in the Bible, heroes that we know about in the Bible, those who we talk about, do vacation Bible schools about, they got tired. And one of those this morning is Elijah. Elijah. Remember who he was. He was the prophet who God used to stand before kings and prophesy about God. The prophet that had that showdown on Mount Carmel when it was such a great scene and he stared those men in the face when they tried to call on their God and it wasn't listening. He's the prophet who defeated 450 prophets of Baal. But you know what happened after all this? After all these great things that Elijah did, he collapses. He collapses emotionally. He collapses spiritually. He is absolutely drained. Why? Because even the strongest faith-minded people get tired. Faithful people can get weary. Godly people sometimes run on empty. You know, you've all been there in your car, right? Maybe not. Maybe you're not that person that waits till the light's on and challenges it, says, I got 10 miles. Okay, let's see if I can stretch that into 20. And you're running on empty, just hoping you can get to the next gas station. Well, reality is sometimes that's how we are physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. So today what I want to do is I want to draw a lesson from Elijah, a great man of God who got tired. And I want us to see in that story what happens. I want us to see in that story what God will do and what He didn't do to help Elijah gain strength. In all of this, I want us to see ourselves. I want us to see if we fit this today where we're drained and we feel like I really don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just putting one foot in front of the other because I'm running on fumes. I'm running on empty. I want you to relate to this story and I want you to think about this. First of all, running on empty can happen to anyone. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. We're going to stay here today and we'll be in some other places, but this is our main text and I want us to read it together. 1 Kings 19. Let's begin in verse 1. Ahab, that's the king, remember? And Jezebel. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Jezebel was a horrible person. Ahab has reported all this news to her of what Elijah has done to these prophets, how he, through God's strength, has taken down these false prophets with the sword. Jezebel is so mad, she sends this messenger. She says, "I want them to do it to me if by this time tomorrow I don't do the same to you as you've done to them. In other words, I'm going to kill you." Well, guess what? Then, in our text, Elijah was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." Let's stop there for a moment. Let's think about this. This great victory Elijah's had on Mount Carmel. Remember, it was so great for him that he's kind of mocking, not kind of, he's mocking those prophets of Baal, their gods. Oh, what, you know, where is he? Is he asleep? Is he going to the bathroom? What's he doing? He hadn't shown up. And of course, you know, when he calls down from his God, Jehovah, Yahweh, all these great things happen. This great victory is there. And he's on this spiritual high. We just had this great vacation Bible school, right? I mean, it was really great. And I think post-COVID, it's one of the best we've had all in all. And I want to thank Taylor and everybody who had such a hand in planning that. Taylor is the organizer of it, and he's got a team that works under him. And guys, you worked it, and this congregation jumped in, and there were seeds planted, and there's more work to be done. But we have this great victory. Then we come down off that victory, and what happens? Sometimes we receive some news because we're a little bit weak, we're a little bit tired, and we start running. Elijah has this great victory. And you know what he's expecting? He's expecting Israel to turn into a revival. You know, I've done all this. They're going to all come and they're going to follow Yahweh and it's going to be great. But you know what he received instead? A death threat. You go back to verse 2. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. So may the gods do to me more also if I not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. The man who stood fearlessly before hundreds of false prophets is now suddenly terrified by one angry woman. He even says in verse 3, then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life. Isn't that amazing how that can happen? You're on this spiritual high, if you will, this mountaintop high, whatever that may be. And then all of a sudden one thing can happen because you're drained a little bit, you're empty a little bit, you're tired. And all of a sudden we're in panic mode. And so what does Elijah do? He says he runs a day's journey. You know what a day's journey was? It's approximately 25 miles. That's the way they kind of were able to measure that. You can go about 25 miles in a day on foot. So if you think about it, Elijah runs 25 miles into the wilderness. And you know what happens? He's tireder when he gets there. He's exhausted. Think about it. He goes 25 miles, if you will, into the wilderness, a day's journey. And he's probably looking for some shade tree, right? Well, he finds a broom tree. A broom tree was not made. It was more like a bush, if you will. It was not really a tree that gave a lot of shade, nor did it give a lot of coverage. But he was so tired, that's the first thing he comes to, and he sits under it. Probably wants some shade, probably wants some coverage, but here's what he says in verse 4. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life. A man who's had this great victory is now begging for God to take his life. He's running on empty. So what happened to him? The same thing that can happen to us. You see, when you're exhausted spiritually, when you're exhausted mentally, when you're exhausted physically, when you're exhausted emotionally, that exhaustion can cloud a great perspective, right? In other words, we won't be able to see the forest before the tree. And that's what happens. And oftentimes, if we do not recognize that and we do not address that, then we receive spiritual burnout. There are a lot of people that aren't here today. There are a lot of people who are here. But on roll, you know, we'll be a congregation of over 400 every Sunday. We don't have 400 here today. Some of those are sick, certainly. Some of those are hurting. Some of those are out of town. But there are a lot of those who received that spiritual burnout and just quit. They just quit. If we're not careful, that can happen to us. What is Elijah ready to do? Quit. Great victory on Mount Carmel. And guess what? Now he's 25 miles into the wilderness and he's sitting under a broom tree and he's saying, God, I quit. Take my life. Because exhaustion clouds perspective. You see, during all of this, Elijah forgot about that fire that rained down from heaven. He forgot about that answered prayer when he called on God. He forgot about that victory at Carmel. He forgot about how faithful God had been to him. You know all he could think about? Jezebel. One threat. Angry, evil woman made him want to take his life out of this world. Because exhaustion clouded his perspective. You see what happens when we're empty? One problem becomes bigger than all of God's blessings. When we're empty, one criticism outweighs hundreds of encouragements. When we're empty, one disappointment will overshadow years of faithfulness. One setback when we're empty will make us question everything. Because the devil loves exhausted believers. When we're empty, we'll believe the lies that he tells us. What are some of those lies? Nobody cares. Nothing matters that I do. I just do this anymore. Things will never get any better. You know what all those are? Exhausted lies that Satan is getting people to believe. Hey, Elijah, nobody wants you in this world anymore. Nobody cares about what you did. Elijah, you can't do this anymore. Elijah, it's never going to get better. So run 25 miles, pout under a broom tree, and beg God to take your life. That's Satan. But it can happen to any of us. If it happened to Elijah, it can happen to us. And so perhaps someone is in here today and nobody knows how tired you are. Perhaps you're carrying a burden that's so big, but no one else can see it. Or perhaps you're fighting these great battles, these huge battles, nobody knows about. Oh yeah, you're showing up on Sundays, but you're running on fumes. Well, I want you to know if that is you today, you are not alone. It can happen to us and probably has. Even God's greatest servants like Elijah have stood where you're standing. So yes, being empty spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally can happen to anyone. But what do we need to remember during that time? The same thing Elijah did. Here it is. Number one, God still cares about you. Number two, look at the text. Let's read Kings 19, 5 through 7. Again, I told you he was tired. You know what he did? Look at it. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat. For the journey is too great for you." I want you to see something in this story. This is a beautiful story, it really is. About exhaustion. About giving up. Even though Elijah can frustrate us, maybe. I mean, it's easy to get frustrated with him here, right? This is a man who God used him to have this great victory, Mount Carmel. All these great things he did. Now, one angry, evil woman makes him run 25 miles, a day's journey into the wilderness, and he's under a broom tree, pouting, saying, "God, take me out of this world." But in the whole story, you know what God didn't do? He didn't rebuke him. He didn't lecture him. He didn't shame him. You know what he did? He cared for him. How amazing is that? Look at verse 5. And behold, an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Verse 6, he looked and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So what did God do for Elijah during this time? He cursed him. He killed him. He rebuked him. He shamed him. No, none of it. He fed him. He fed him. He let him sleep. He's having his Sabbath, if you will, right there, right? He's resting because he's exhausted. He's exhausted physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And he's not thinking clearly. So God says, sleep. And he sends an angel to wake him up. And now he says, eat and drink. What happened after that? Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. He fed him again. But did you notice what the angel said at the end of verse 7? He says, again, an angel second time touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. That's important for us to see. The journey is too great for you. The journey is too great for me. We cannot do it alone. We cannot journey alone. God acknowledges Elijah's limitations and He acknowledges ours. You see, the journey for Elijah was too great for him alone. God never designed us to live disconnected from Him. You know what Satan's greatest tool is? To wear you out doing good. Man, I did this for VBS. I did this for, for this event. I did this for this event. I did this for this person. I did this for that. You know, all the things that people do and all the good that happens. And then all of a sudden, one criticism, one somebody didn't thank you, one somebody didn't smile at you, whatever. And because we're tired, we're physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally drained. And all of a sudden, I'm now saying, hey, I'm done. I quit. Satan would like nothing more than that. You to do something good and then to use somebody to lie, to tell a lie in your head, you believe it and you quit. Because he wants you to be disconnected from God. Here's what God tells him. He didn't say a word per se to him, but he said, Elijah, I know you're tired. Sleep. Elijah, I know you're hungry. Eat. I'm providing it for you. Elijah, do some more sleeping if you have to. Elijah, eat again. Because guess what? You can't do it alone, Elijah. You need me. Jesus said in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. He's talking about being the true vine and the branches. Think about that. He's saying, apart, Jesus Christ's words, apart from me, you can do nothing. So why do we think we can do it on our own? Why do we think we can do it alone? The Christian life was never intended to be powered by human strength and human strength alone. What's happening is there are too many Christians trying to run a God-sized race on human-sized resources. You know what happens when we do that? Eventually, the tank will run dry. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is rest. Not at a time to worship. Not at a time for Bible class. But maybe some other time when we're trying to jam so many things into one day or one this and one that. There are a lot of people who choose to rest today. Guess what? They quit a long time ago because it doesn't matter to them anymore. You see, this is God's day. And He gets our best, right? Sometimes our best means our tank is empty. When it's time to rest in Him, it's time to rest in His Word. It's time to meditate in His Word. Rest in prayer. Rest in doing good. God does understand our limitations because He created us. David said in Psalm 103:14, "For He knows our frame." And guess what? He remembers that we are dust. Think about that. We're just dust that He breathed life into. You see, God remembers our frame. He remembers us. And then He thinks, they are just dust that I breathe life into. But sometimes we take that life and we try to do it and we were like Atlas in that picture of trying to hold it all up. But sometimes it crumbles on us because we get tired and we don't rest and we don't meditate and we don't spend time doing what God wants us to do. I want you to know, if you're weak today, God's not shocked by your weakness. If you're exhausted today, He's not surprised by your exhaustion. Does He know about all this? Does He know where you are right now? Yes. And He still cares. Some may need to hear this. You're not failing because you're tired today. You're human. You're not weak because you need help. You're human. You're not necessarily less spiritual because you're struggling. After all, we are human. We're dust that God breathed life into. And right now, God knows exactly where you are. And He still cares for you. Just like He did for Elijah. And so it leads us to our last thought on this lesson today. And here it is, number three. God is enough. Look at verse 8. So important to finish right here. Remember, think about it, put it all together, had this great victory. Jezebel makes this threat, "I'm going to kill you." He's afraid. He runs a day's journey, estimated 25 miles, into the wilderness. He finds a broom tree. Didn't provide much shade, didn't provide much coverage, but he's exhausted, so he stops right there and he quits. "God, take my life." God didn't curse him. God didn't take him. God took care of him. He slept. He ate. He ate again. Now verse 8. What's happened? God's given him the strength. He's taken that Sabbath, if you will. That rest, if you will. He's eaten. He's fed physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And so he arose, verse 8, ate and drank, and in the strength of that food, 40 days. And 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Wow. Wow. One meal from God Almighty carried Elijah 40 more days. Not because that bread or that cake was magical. It didn't have magic powers in it. It's because God, the one who was behind the bread, was majestic, is majestic. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul writes, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Up till this, Paul had prayed three times for God to remove his thorn in the flesh. I don't know what the thorn in the flesh was, but it was a reminder that haunted Paul. It was so much so that he got tired. He ran on empty because of it. He was emotionally drained, physically drained, spiritually drained, mentally drained, in prison after prison, in shipwreck, in stonings, in peril and danger and danger and danger and danger. And there were moments in those times Paul was reminded of that thorn in the flesh and he begged God to take it away. But God answered this: I'm not going to take it away, because my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know what that means? It means God is enough. You need strength? God has enough. You need mercy? God has enough. You need wisdom? God has enough. You need hope. You need grace. Again, God, He is enough. Like Paul, like Elijah, He's not always going to remove the journey, but He's going to give us the strength to get through the journey. Whatever that mountain, that obstacle is in your life, He may not remove it, but He is enough and will give us enough to climb and conquer it. You know who understood this? Isaiah. It's what was read to us earlier. Isaiah 40:29, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. And then, of course, there's verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. You know who renews the strength? You, me, no. God. Terry, my marriage is at a weak point. Can you help me? I can listen to you. I can give you some exercises and things to do. But it's God who's going to give the strength. Terry, I'm struggling with XYZ in my life. Can you help me get through it? Oh, I can listen. Pray, I can talk, advise, but it's God who will get you through it. You see, all we are is dust that He provided strength to. And when we trust Him, we can be there for one another, but it's ultimately God who in that weakness will give us the strength to get through it. You see, even faithful Christians become weary. God didn't say you'll never get tired. You see, the promise is that even when you're tired, God, because He is enough, can refill whatever life has emptied. Elijah thought he needed to quit. But God knew he needed it. And God also knew it was only God who could provide it. What was the greatest problem in Elijah's life when he's running 25 miles in the wilderness? Oh, it was Jezebel. No, it wasn't. Jezebel wasn't the greatest problem in Elijah's life. It was spiritual depletion. And see, what Elijah ultimately needed was a renewed encounter with God. That same is true today. There, you know, the invention from some of these power tool companies, it's amazing. You know, you can have a chainsaw run off of batteries. You can have a lawnmower run off of batteries. You can have weed eaters. You can have saws, table saws. You can have a lot of things that run off of batteries. But there's nothing more frustrating than being in the middle of something and that battery die. That's why if you can still plug in, it's best to get back to the power. Today, maybe you were so plugged into the power it charged you up, but now those batteries are getting empty. You know what it's time to do? Not time to throw it away and try something new. It's time to go back to the original. Plug back into the power. Many people are trying to fill their spiritual emptiness with something new, some substitute like success. Oh, that's going to fill me up. No, it's not. Money, it's going to fill me. No, entertainment, sports, hobbies, relationships, achievements, these are going to refill me. No, they're not. There's nothing new under the sun. You know that? Solomon tried all of them. Every single one of them. Success, money, entertainment. I don't know about sports, but hobbies, relationships, achievements. He tried it all, right? And you know what he said in the autobiography of his life? In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2, vanity of vanities, all is vanity is what most versions say, but I like this one. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. Why is everything meaningless, Solomon? Because when I try new things and I throw it old away to get something new, it's because I didn't plug back into the power. Only God can fill what God created. Jesus in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Don't miss the imagery. God doesn't do things by accident. What did Elijah need? Bread and water. Spiritually, what does Jesus provide? Bread and water. You can be full financially and be empty spiritually. You can be successful professionally and bankrupt spiritually. You can be surrounded by people and still be lonely. You can have everything this world offers and still be empty. Because it's only Christ who fills the soul. Today, it's time to surrender it all to Him. Are you running on empty? Have you unplugged from the source? Have you never started a walk with Him? It's not time to run. It's not time to pout. It's not time to give up. It's time to gain strength. His grace is sufficient for us. Submit your life to Him. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Come home. Plug back in. Do it right now. Together we stand and sing.